Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, it's UAP. I'm Stephen Diener. Over there is Karen Curtis, and this is episode 23 of the Unidentified Alien Podcast.
I've lost time, I can't believe it.
We do. We actually have lost time now, but it's been so much fun doing these episodes for you and with you, Karen. And
thank you.
We have some good stuff. Well, we always have good stuff, but today is...
It's just getting better and better.
There's just so many things that we can cover, and we always have to pick and choose. This is another subject, you know, sometimes I said... Like with the Curious Case of Andrew Basiago, which has been one of our more popular episodes, and we appreciate everybody who's been listening. We're almost at 10,000 downloads.
Yay, we just started doing this.
I know, it's been a few months maybe.
Yeah.
So we appreciate everybody.
It took off like a rocket ship.
I love it.
To Mars.
So keep on listening, keep on enjoying, leave us comments and feedback, only if it's good feedback. And then so we appreciate it. No, we'll take any feedback. But, you know, that's one example of something that I was holding back on. I was waiting to get to that type of story with, you know, the time traveler anyway, of Andrew Basiago. And this is one that I think I could say probably was maybe one of the beginning reasons of why I even got so interested in the supernatural and UFOs and aliens, because of this man that we're going to talk about today and next week, Edgar Cayce.
He's amazing. And this is right up my alley because reincarnation, I was regressed by the best, Dr. Brian Weiss, who wrote the book Many Lives, Many Masters. So I believe in reincarnation. I was my mom's youngest sister, Adria, who strangled in her high chair at 8 months old.
Wow.
Yeah, and I saw the whole thing. That was crazy. And then I also am kind of an empath. I'm not a psychic, but being an empath, it makes you... You can sense other people's emotions.
Right, right.
And it is exhausting. But he was psychic. He could see the future.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we have a lot to go into with Edgar Cayce today. And so you'll find out why they called him the sleeping prophet and why he's regarded as, you know, the real deal.
He is. Even more so than Nostradamus. And I'll tell you a little bit more, kind of contrast them a little bit.
So, but, and we will get to some, it all ties in. I know you probably wonder, well, this doesn't have to do with aliens.
Oh, no, it does.
It all ties in. Trust us. With the two parts, there was so much. Quite honestly, we could have done four parts of a series just on Edgar Cayce. But I had to come to a point where I was like, okay, what are we going to include here? What are we going to leave out? So we really have a lot of good stuff with him, but we had to split up in between two parts.
You went down the celestial rabbit hole yesterday.
Oh, very much so. Yes.
I had to dig him out.
Yeah, you did. You had to pull me out. But it's really, really intriguing stuff here we're going to get into today and also on episode 24 next week when we do part two of Edgar Cayce. But before we get into all that, our factoid, our fun fact, what do you got for us today, Karen?
The Xenobots, Stephen.
This is, you talk about unbelievable. I can't even believe that we're talking about this as a real story. It sounds like something that was made up by, you know, James Cameron for a movie like
Aliens.
Terminator.
Yeah, a Terminator. Yeah, so these are tiny organic robots. We've made them. Human beings made them. And they can reproduce. Yes, a robot that can reproduce.
Yeah.
They're called Xenobots, and they were created last year. And they use stem cells. So before you get upset, they're not from fetuses. It's from the African clawed frog.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are like Pac-Man-shaped robots. They're capable of moving. They work together in groups.
They're microscopic.
And they're self-healing. So like...
Yeah.
And maybe they could like grow a pancreas for you or help you regrow an arm if you lose. I don't know what's down the road. But they're reproducing in a way that is not seen in plants or animals. What does that mean? What if they reproduce like... exponentially and take over the earth.
Well, they are thinking for themselves with this report. It's an insane technology that's happening. They're making their own choices on what to do and like how much to reproduce. It's If you haven't seen anything about the Xenobots, just look it up. I'm telling you, this is going to be, this is the future right here, is something like this. And look, hopefully it's used for good, because they're talking about, you know, you can infuse it with your own cells. They can implant it in your body. It kills cancers. It kills, you know, tumors or whatever, you know, heals an organ, whatever it might be. That would be great.
It can remove microplastics from the ocean, which there's huge islands of plastic.
Right.
And heal injuries. I like that. But, you know, when they do the gain of function research on the coronavirus, we're thinking, oh, it's for good, but look what happened.
So it is a little scary because of all the bad things that can happen from this. But believe it or not, Karen,
what?
This story with the Xenobots actually ties into an Edgar Cayce prophecy.
Really?
Which we'll get into in a little while.
No.
So, yes.
He was so wonderful.
So stay tuned on that one.
Yeah, he was, so he lived what, back in the 1800s to early 1900s?
Yeah, he was born in 1877, passed away, I want to say in the 1940s, I believe. Born in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, you know, basically.
Okay, so we have a little story next week that's going to relate to that.
Remember
city.
The name Hopkinsville, yes. There's a couple.
They had a little visitation.
Yeah, a couple of strange things with that town that have been actually well documented. So we'll get into that as part of, again, part two of our Edgar Cayce series next week. But just getting into his history first, everybody. Is it pretty much in agreement? Now, I shouldn't say that. I mean, you always have your doubters and your skeptics who say he was a charlatan, who said he was, you know, scamming people and he's a con artist. But everything I've ever seen with Edgar Cayce or studied about Edgar Cayce tells me that this guy was the real deal.
Yes, there really aren't many people that call him a charlatan.
No, I mean, the, you know, you always have your fringe people and your skeptics, but this is a guy that was an empath before people even knew what an empath was.
Right.
You go back to his early childhood. And you're talking about a time where, this is really quite the story, actually. He was studying for a test in school. And this is when he started to discover he had some type of abilities that he could not explain. So he was studying. He couldn't remember the words, and his dad was punishing him physically.
It was a spelling bee.
It was a spelling bee, right. And his dad started physically punishing him because he couldn't remember the words. So he's like, I'm tired. I need a nap. So he put the book under his pillow and woke up and had all of the words and everything in the book memorized. So how did we get to that point?
Osmosis.
Well, before then, because it's some type of divine intervention, at least the way the story goes.
Yes.
He was, as his biography goes, visited by what he called an angel in the woods by his, you know, ranch, his farm that he grew up on in Kentucky. And the angel, he was, you know, a devout Christian growing up and everything,
right.
Church-going child with his parents. And the angel said to him, your prayers have been answered. Whatever you ask for will be answered. So he asked to be able to help people, especially children, and to heal people. And, you know, and then he decided at that point that he wanted to become a missionary as he grew older. And so as he was studying for this test and he couldn't get it, he fell asleep and the angel came to him and said, you know, we're going to help you. Just go to sleep. And from that point on, for the rest of his life, he could put a book in front of his head and memorize everything.
Well, he read the Bible every year.
He did.
It seems like he could recite it.
I mean, so this is a guy that, like you said, he read the Bible every year. Once a year, every year, would just read through the Bible.
He probably wrote it, too, in a past life.
He probably did.
That's
who knows? And so there's so many deep holes with Edgar Cayce, but that's where it all started. It started, that's kind of the genesis of his, you know, abilities, so to speak, was when he saw this angel that he described anyway in the woods by his home.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Akashic Record too,
yeah.
And that's just like everything that's ever been thought or brought up or invented or written down or whatever. It's in the Akashic Record, and he can tap into that. And I wanted to just tell you, it kind of reminds me of, who's the guy that invented electricity?
Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison. Yeah. He would sit down in a rocking chair, and he would hold on to BBs in his hand, and he would fall asleep. And when you fall asleep, you let go, right? So when the BBs would fall to the ground and wake him up, he would instantly write down what he was thinking.
Hmm.
And that's where he was getting all of his ideas in that pre-sleep time.
Interesting. And that's actually how that correlates to Edgar Cayce, because he, like we said at the beginning,
he would go to sleep
as he grew older and started to discover his abilities. He would go into a sleep-like trance, and that's how he would be able to connect to, you know, the Akashic Record and see the past, present, and future, and also be able to heal people.
That's, and I think because he was doing it for good, that helped him. But it's so interesting because we might be having epiphanies in our sleep and we don't remember it when we wake up.
Right. No, it's true.
We all might be having this.
And that's actually funny you say that, Karen, because when in one of his sessions, Edgar Cayce was asked, someone who was in the session with him, because he gave over 14,000 readings that were recorded anyway. They think it's actually
like
over
8,000 before that.
Right. So over 20,000 sessions and recordings that, you know, may not have been recorded to begin with. So they only have about 14 or 15,000 of them during his time that he did this. And he said that everybody has the ability to do this.
Yes.
And that's one thing that stuck with me when I first started learning about Edgar Cayce about, I want to say, close to 20 years ago. And that's one thing that always stuck with me was, wow, anybody could do what he did?
I try to do it. Sometimes it works. I remember being in Gainesville in like 1989, and it was 2 a.m., and I'm talking to a friend about That Girl. Remember the show with Marlo Thomas?
Yeah.
And my favorite episode of That Girl was when she's jumping up and down on the couch and calling Donald, her boyfriend, saying, there's a 40-pound mouse in my house. And I turned the TV on, and not only was the TV channel on, and That Girl was on, it was that episode, and it was that very moment.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I don't know if I was getting it from the Akashic Record or what was happening, but that was weird.
That is weird. It's one of those weird things. And we talk about Thomas Edison. Edgar Cayce did a lot of readings with some famous people, including Thomas Edison.
Oh, Steve? Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
Maybe he told him about sleeping, and he did the BB thing after.
It's possible.
That's so interesting.
He also spoke with Woodrow Wilson, Marilyn Monroe. So he was a very known person in his time. I mean, of course, you know, when you talk about someone like Marilyn Monroe, that was later in his life, considering he died in the 40s. But this is a guy, again, just...
She must have been Norma Jean at the time.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Yeah. But also, Edgar Cayce, he would have his friend, his wife, his secretary record his words when he was in a trance. And during the sessions, he would answer questions on subjects like healing. And I can also, if you have your knee is injured, I can put my hand on one knee and the other and tell you which knee it is. I can feel the heat. It's weird. But anyway, I'm not Edgar Cayce, nor do I think I am. But anyway, but he would talk about healing, reincarnation, dreams, afterlife, past life, nutrition.
Right.
Atlantis, we're going to get into that, and future events. And that's what psychic ability is, being able to see future events. And here's the director of the Edgar Cayce Foundation.
He could diagnose people's physical problems. He could tell you what's in a book. He could find something at a great distance. He could even read the Akashic Record, the Book of Life.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a guy that basically... I mean, if you want to put it into kind of layman's terms today, he had superpowers.
Yeah.
You know?
He did.
And this was somebody who was very gifted. And, you know, again, going back to when he was a child, reading the Bible in the woods, and the angel appears to him according to his story, his biography, that's how it all went. And from that point on, he started gaining these abilities. I mean, there's reports of him talking to his dead grandfather.
Wow.
As a child. And he just thought it was normal. He would just be having conversations out in the field, and his parents were like, what is happening here? What is he doing?
What is he talking to?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, the teacher sent him home with a note saying he's not doing well in spelling, so his dad started asking him stuff, and he couldn't answer it correctly, and that's when he went to sleep on the book.
Right.
And that's... came back, you know, knowing every word and how to spell it.
Exactly. So that's when he discovered that gift. And then later on, he started to be able, as you heard there in the clip, and we mentioned too, he was being able to diagnose people in his sleep. He had people coming to him with different ailments. He diagnosed himself, actually.
Oh.
He had a bad case of laryngitis where that left him speechless for a couple of years. And he went into photography, actually. But then he was able to basically fix himself from there and figure out what needed to be done.
He went on WebMD, did he?
No, WebMD. He had a spinal injury as a child.
Oh.
And went into a sleep-like trance and told his parents, here's how to fix me. And they did it.
That's so interesting. I wonder if he had a blow to the head that had, you know, contributed to this.
There's no reports of
power.
That. I mean, you know, sometimes you do hear about things like that where people have some type of blow to the head. And I mean, I heard about a guy one time that had like a motorcycle accident and came out of a coma and was able to play piano perfectly.
Yes.
So you have weird
or
stories.
Or dove
like
into
that.
A pool and hit his head.
Right.
It's like a certain part of the head has to be injured, and then you're like the savant at something.
Right.
Guitar or the piano or drawing.
But again, this is a guy that said, you know what? Everybody has this ability. We all have the ability to be able to tap into this part of our minds and our spirits, really.
Yeah.
And to be able to go into a trance and connect with, you know, these otherworldly spiritual influences that are out there that we're so preoccupied every day with, you know, daily lives with our phones and our shows and our jobs and making money and all these things. And so we don't have the mental capability, the drive to sit and relax and just meditate. And that's something that Edgar Cayce specialized in. Now, granted, this is 100 years ago when, you know, he was kind of at the height of his game, so to speak. So times were different. We didn't have iPhones and TVs, really.
So. Well, we're so focused on the minutiae.
Right.
And when you start to expand your mind and think about all this stuff, it really changes your perspective.
Yeah, it does.
Because certain things you think are important are not at all. And so we all may have these abilities, and I just want to kind of explain what some of them are, and that Edgar Cayce had a lot of them, like astral projection, which we've done episodes on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the intentional out-of-body experience that assumes the existence of a soul called an astral body.
So kind of like remote viewing in a way.
Right. And it's separate from your physical body and capable of traveling outside in and out of the universe. And when I was regressed by Dr. Brian Weiss, I was actually in the kitchen with Adria and her sister Denise, which would have been my aunt. And I was astral projecting above her, and I saw her slip down while her mom, my grandma Wanda, was doing laundry downstairs. She didn't see her slide down and suffocate.
Wow.
So I was like outside the bot. And then I saw the white coffin, which I knew nothing about.
Wow.
I saw it though. It was weird. Then you have prophesizing. That's, you can say that a specific thing will happen in the future. Like, it was very big in biblical times. Thus you had the prophets.
Right, right.
And you also, that I think Nostradamus was pretty much a prophet. Mm-hmm. Mediumism. Not to be confused with largism, is a practice of purportedly mediating communications between spirits of the dead and living human beings.
Right, so you see different things about mediums who, you know, say they claim they can talk to the dead, and, I mean, you've seen all those different types of things.
You can spirit channel, you can have seance tables, be in a trance, the Ouija board. I don't do Ouija board, that's a bad idea.
You have to be very
you
careful with that.
You can call in, like, very bad people.
Yeah.
Then we were talking about the Akashic Record, the Book of Life, which is a compilation or a compendium of all universal events, thoughts, words, emotions, and intent.
Right.
Ever to have happened in the past, present, or future. So, like, if you're fatalistic and you think everything's predetermined, it is, if you believe in this. You know, all entities and all life forms, not just humans. So it's like the whole thing.
You know, and with...
So that would include aliens.
Exactly. And which, again, we're going to get into, because I have a quote here, Karen, from Edgar Cayce that I found so fascinating, and I saved it for this episode, because he said, and there's a lot of famous quotes from Edgar Cayce, but he said, life is continuous and is infinite.
I believe it.
So if that means infinite, how? Infinite in the fact of our spirits, our souls go on forever, or life itself? Life organisms are infinite throughout the universe. I mean, there's a lot of different ways, I guess, you can interpret that quote. But I found it very intriguing. And it's funny, too, because we talk about the Akashic Record and how Edgar Cayce was able to tap into that and all these different things, these gifts that he had that he knew how to tap into and use to the fullest extent that he says we can all do if we just put our minds to it, I guess, so to speak, and learn it.
Yeah, stop thinking about what you're going to post on Instagram and, you know, broaden your mind.
But it's interesting because it could go in, not to get too comic booky here, I know, with, you know, Marvel, with everything coming out right now with, you know, Spider-Man and the multiverse and all these different things.
No, I think that these people know.
But when you have something we talk about, like with the Akashic Record, that, you know, has basically, it's everything that's ever happened or will happen just floating out in the universe that you can tap into, this fountain of knowledge. So in there might be some type of, not alternate universe, but a way that you can see different paths. Because our future is just made up of choices.
That's right.
You know?
But, you know, you have, like, Thomas Edison creating the light bulb, but somebody else across the planet was creating it as well. And maybe they were both tapping into the Akashic record at the same time.
It's possible. Because everything's made up of choices. Look, if we didn't choose to talk about Edgar Cayce today for episode 23, we would have been talking about, you know, Roswell or something.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be listening to this right now. So
now, have you ever heard of seeing auras? Like, you can see color around people that... I'm not talking about chakra, but it's like an aura. I guess there's three auras, and they are etheric, emotional, and mental. And it's like a mood ring, right?
Right.
Same idea. And you know what the rarest aura color is?
I don't, actually. I cannot see auras.
No, I can't either. But sometimes you can photograph. And you said he got into photography.
He did. He never photographed the auras, but he said he could see them.
Oh, he could see them.
Constantly, actually.
Well, white is the rarest of all aura colors. And I believe white is reserved for the divine people.
Right.
That probably my mother... Teresa had a white aura.
I could see that.
I would say that.
We don't know that for sure.
You know that she also had it to be exorcised?
Yeah.
Because she had insomnia?
Right.
And they had to do an exorcism on Mother Teresa. I thought that was weird. So how is Edgar Cayce different from Nostradamus?
Tell us, Karen.
So Nostradamus lived like in the 1500s, and he was a French astrologer, physician, and reputed seer. And he wrote 942 poetic quatrains. A quatrain is four lines of poetry that are grouped together. And he kind of said stuff in a code.
It was very coded, yeah. And they say that was because, I mean, if anybody had found out what he was doing, he would have been basically killed for being a heretic.
Right, a heretic. So he was predicting the future, and his book was first published in 1555. So many claim that he predicted the Great Fire of London, the French Revolution, the rises of Napoleon and Adolf Hitler. Remember, he called him Hister.
That's right, yeah.
Super close. But you read into it what you want. Both world wars, nuclear destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and he may have predicted the Apollo moon landings.
Yeah.
Space Challenger disaster, the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, September 11th, the attack on the World Trade Center, all from the 1500s.
Yeah, there's different, you know, and again, with Nostradamus, so just on that end, there it's all up to interpretation, but there's a lot of key words that you can interpret toward all those different things. I mean, the Iraq War, Saddam Hussein, there's a lot from Nostradamus that people say, oh, wow, look, you know, this means that. And, you know, it's open to interpretation, but I do think there's something to that, sure.
There could be. What's really interesting, though, there are some facts that you might not know about him. He was expelled from medical school.
Right.
So he wasn't a doctor. And in addition to prophecies, he published a cookbook.
Oh, well, that's fun. Cooking with Nostradamus.
Yes.
Here's how to make a turkey.
He invented the turducken.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know.
But it's with Edgar Cayce, some of his readings.
I think he's better than Nostradamus.
Me too.
I think Nostradamus looked at a bowl of oil or water and tea leaves.
It was a lot with alchemy.
Yeah, alchemy too, yeah.
But some of the things with Edgar Cayce, and just to point out some things that people will say, oh, well, he said this, and that never came true. Well, some of those things you could say are, he talked about Japan floating off into, basically being submerged off the map. Now, you could say...
Well, that's plate tectonics. Hawaii is moving a half inch every year north, and there's another island forming Lauleha south of the Big Island over the hot spot.
Right.
The volcanic hot spot.
So things are always shifting. Now, they didn't have a lot of science behind plate tectonics in the 20s.
Then?
So he saw that. Now, obviously, Japan is still around. God bless them. They're still there. But could it be possible that he saw the tsunami that hit Japan almost 10 years
Very
ago?
Very good point.
And they had the nuclear disaster at the same time with that. So maybe he was seeing that. He also talked about New York being submerged underwater and
Ooh.
Things like that. Maybe he saw Hurricane Sandy when they had the flood in Manhattan. So there's different things that people point to and say, well, you know, New York is still there. Japan is still there. Well, yes.
Give it time.
But maybe he saw that. And also maybe he saw different things that he interpreted as.
Well, in the past, Japan was underwater with the plate tectonics.
Yeah.
Because it's moving.
So, you know, there's different things that people point to and say, oh, well, that hasn't happened yet. He talked about a self-perpetual machine that basically propels itself, but not like an airplane. It's like a self-propelling energy.
Oh, I love it.
And
maybe
so
that's really interesting.
And he also talked about, Karen, and this is what I said in the beginning that kind of connects back to the Xenobots during our fact of the day, our fun fact there. He talked about human life being extended. that medical advances would reach a point to where human life would be extended, and he said humans will live much longer than we are right now.
I think we did in the past, too, because there's all kinds of carvings and Sumerian writing.
I guess like, well, not hieroglyphs, because that'd be Egypt.
Well, that too. Yeah. That says that people were living like 700 years. They'd have like the list of the kings, and some of them were like 700 years old.
Some biblical times, that's right, where, you know, you talk about Noah lived 900 years, and, you know, Moses and all these people, Methuselah living 1,000 years.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Old Testament times. So there were times back, way back.
Sanskrit.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
there
trying
you go,
to think
Sanskrit,
of.
There you go. But so that's something that may, you know, kind of pique my interest, because we didn't hear about the Xenobot story until this morning, actually, before we started doing this podcast.
Right.
And that kind of piqued my interest, because I'm like, wait a minute. This was one of those prophecies that he had that people say haven't necessarily come true yet, even though we do have a lot of medical advances, like organ transplants that were not around when Edgar Cayce was alive.
Well, we're extending life. I mean, when I was little, my grandparents died in their early 60s. Now, my dad's 87.
Right.
You know, so it's slowly but surely we are extending it. But Edgar Cayce and the Sphinx, and he connects it to the lost city of Atlantis. I think he's actually dating humans back further than we've been told we existed.
So this is one of the more, I guess you could say, famous things that Edgar Cayce ever spoke about. And in his 20,000 readings, 14,000 of which are recorded in a Virginia library, by the way, at the Edgar Cayce Foundation. And he talks about, again, this is something that's always brought up with him, Atlantis. And in great detail.
Because many people say it never existed, but he said, yeah, it did.
And, you know, and he goes, of course, you can look back at, you know, the writings of Plato, how he described Atlantis, and people thought it was just kind of a made-up story. But then you start to put it together, and you're like, maybe this could have been true. Edgar Cayce went into great detail about Atlantis, where it was, which was basically a big landmass between what we know as United States and Europe. It would have been in between there, in the Atlantic Ocean. And then at some point, it kind of broke off into five different islands. And then you had the Great Flood, which is what he says, talking about Noah and the Great Flood. That was the flood that destroyed Atlantis.
And how does he know this? He lived back then.
He says,
in a past life.
One of his past lives was an Atlantean priest, I think he said.
Yeah.
Right?
So, but he dates all this stuff back to 10,490 BC. And here's the head of the Edgar Cayce Foundation dating the Sphinx and the pyramids. He thinks it's correct.
He actually gave readings for his own soul that had been a high priest in ancient Egypt and was directly associated with the building of the Sphinx.
Unbelievable. So why are we talking about the Sphinx? Because, again, this is one of the more famous things with Edgar Cayce. He said in one of his readings, or one of his seeings, prophecies, I guess you could say, while he was the sleeping prophet, that the artifacts, the Hall of Records, so to speak, from Atlantis, were saved and brought to Egypt and buried under the right paw of the Sphinx.
Yes, so here we go.
The Edgar Cayce readings specifically say that Atlantis, as recorded by Plato, was not a myth. He leaked that information given to him by the Egyptian priesthood and put it into his books, the Timaeus and the Critias.
And he explained that the lost city of Atlantis was real and associated with the golden age of Egypt.
Right.
Atlantis helped Egypt to thrive. That's what he said.
He did.
And then the Hall of Records, as you said, it's an ancient library. And it was supposed to be under the right paw of the Sphinx. And that was foretold by Cayce.
Cayce dreamed that under the right paw of the Sphinx, there was a chamber at a very specific place that apparently hold the Hall of Records from the lost civilization of Atlantis, which Cayce felt he was a direct part of.
So thank you, Ancient Aliens. But
yes.
Yeah, that is so interesting. So what'd they do? The foundation went and drilled, what, 8 holes?
They did.
Paw?
Yeah, 1978, they drilled some holes. They tried to get as much information as they could with the technology that was available
Maybe
at that time.
Maybe it was under the left paw.
Maybe. I don't know, he was looking at it the wrong way in a mirrored image in his vision. I don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
But they couldn't find anything. But it's interesting because two reasons why. First, I'll read this quote, and this will kind of lead into the reasons, Karen. This was the quote from Edgar Cayce's reading that they recorded. This imposition lies as the sun rises from the waters.
Oh.
The line of the shadow or light falls between the paws of the Sphinx that was later set as the sentinel or guard and which may not be entered from the connecting chambers from the Sphinx's right paw until the time has been fulfilled when the changes must be active in this sphere of man's experience. So I know that sounds confusing and deep, but I think what he's getting at there is we weren't ready.
Yeah, we're not ready yet.
We're not there.
You're not there.
We're not mentally, spiritually ready to see this information. So
especially now we're like contemplating the fuzz in our navel with all of this, you know, pronoun, and I'm sorry, but I think that there's a lot of silliness going on and there's a much bigger thing that we need to be concentrating
on. We're missing the big picture.
We're missing the big picture. Thank you.
And I think what's happened there too is, you know, again, a couple of things. Number one, you could say that we're not ready. Skeptics would say, well, that's just an easy way out for Edgar Cayce to make something up and say, oh, well, you're not ready. That's why you haven't found it. So when are we ever going to find it? That's what a skeptic would say. I would say, well, look, he was right about a lot of other things. He healed a lot of people. He saw a lot of different things while he had his sleeping prophet sessions. So why couldn't this be real?
Yeah, because he said in the reading of on the Great Pyramid in Egypt, he suggested that an ancient hall of records would be discovered
right
at a time signifying the manifestation of this new level of consciousness.
Exactly.
I remember watching my dad as a kid. He had caught 50 bluegill. It's a fish from mm-hmm. Michigan, right? And I was watching him cleaning them. And so they were alive on the cutting board, alive, alive. He's taking the scales off. And he'd cut the head off. And then it would be dead. And I'm thinking, where he's alive, alive, dead, alive, alive. Where's all that energy going? Is it going in the air? Is it going into my dad? Where, what? It was alive and now it's dead. What happens to that energy? It was fascinating.
It's a good question, and maybe that's all part of the plan. It all just floats out there because, you know, when they say a lot of people were kind of saying, "Oh, well, see, I told you nothing was under the Sphinx." When in 1978, some of the people from his organization went to go dig out there, they got permission from the Egyptian government. They thought they were getting somewhere. But then the army came and stopped them, the Egyptian army, and they were like, no, no more, no more.
Huh.
And they were seeing some type of caverns. What they saw were caverns. Now, other people say, well, no, those openings you saw in your x-rays were just natural cracks in the
right
underground formation. And those were naturally formed caverns. So they found some type of openings that they couldn't explain because since 1978, when they were stopped by the army, no one's been allowed to this day.
Right.
To go back and do further experiments. I mean, there are people studying the Sphinx all the time, but you're not allowed to do what they were doing in 1978, which was actually drilling under it.
Right, they drilled 8 holes.
That's right.
Interesting. So next week, we're going to continue on the Edgar Cayce storyline, but talk about little green men.
Yeah, there's a lot still left to get with Edgar Cayce. And check out on the blog, too, for this episode, because we talked about Edgar Cayce's timeline. For Atlantis and pretty much the history of civilization as a whole. He actually, according to him, came out with an entire timeline of the history of the universe, essentially.
Yes.
And we will have the picture of that timeline on 850WFTL.com. Search out UAP under the podcast there, and you'll see the blog for episode 23. Of course, you can go back, and all the episodes are on that blog. So if you missed a few, if you want to start from the beginning, feel free. And enjoy yourself with that, too. But
yeah, he has the beginning of Earth experience at 4.6 billion years ago. I think that's the Big Bang, right?
Which actually, oddly enough, Karen, matches up with scientific studies that say the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old.
And he said this...
Which came out, you know, not too long ago, not 100 years ago when he was making these readings.
And Adam and Eve apparently manifested in 12,000 BC.
Right.
So... it just gives you an idea. It's all mind-bending, but it's all good.
It really is. It's incredible stuff. I mean, he talked about, again, you know, when Atlantis was destroyed, that was essentially the great flood from Noah that we read about in the Bible. And he talks about Atlantis being able to, and this is something I always found fascinating. I never forgot. I know we're supposed to tease next time, but I'm still caught up in this. He was able to see visions of Atlantis, how they were able to harness the power of the sun through crystals and had like these... I guess, self-sustaining energy machines.
Well, that reminds me of Nikola Tesla with the free electricity that he was generating.
Exactly.
He was like, why can't we do that?
And then...
oh, no, you got to pay for it.
And then he was bankrupt because nobody wanted to lose out on money. And then he died and the government stole all his research.
Yeah, so. In a past episode, we had aliens that were giving us all this information that would make society better. And we're like, no.
Yeah, with Valiant Thor.
We need to keep it this way.
You got to check out some of these past episodes because if you're lost if you don't know. We've talked about some of these things in past episodes. So
no, we haven't lost our minds.
No, well, maybe. But this is, I was so excited to talk about Edgar Cayce today, and I can't wait to talk about him again next week. Because, again, do yourself a favor. Go ahead and check out 850WFTL.com on the UAP blog page. You'll see the timeline there that Edgar Cayce claims is essentially the history of the universe, the history of our evolution. He talks about it. We'll get into more of this next week, too.
Yeah, I foresee we'll do another episode next
week. Yes, we're going to get into a lot of this timeline next week because I think, Karen, I had an enlightenment when I was studying this timeline and listening to a lot of recordings about it, doing a lot of reading about this timeline. I think we might have figured out the alien mystery because of this timeline.
Really?
Yes, I think so.
That's huge.
I think so.
You buried your lead.
I know. It's true.
We just figured out everything.
I think, according to Edgar Cayce, basically saying that we're all started off as energy in the universe.
Right, I believe it.
And he kind of evolved into these curious beings. So we're going to get into all that next week because I think I put the puzzle together.
Wow.
We're going to see.
I love it.
Maybe I'm crazy. But we're going to get into all that next week along with, in Edgar Cayce's hometown, we said, remember the name of Hopkinsville.
Yep.
There was a famous invasion.
Yes.
The invasion.
Battle.
Battle of Hopkinsville, 1955. So.
Wow, your unification of particle physics and quantum physics and theoretical physics will probably get us a million downloads.
Wonderful. Please, go ahead and do so.
Alien life, all together in one big bouillabaisse.
That's the first time we got to use bouillabaisse in one of
our episodes. I haven't used that before.
We've been waiting to do that one. Took 23 tries. So we're going to get into all of that. And what did Edgar Cayce have to say about aliens and other life in the universe specifically? Huge, huge revelations.
And did he ever write a cookbook?
I don't think he did. Not like Nostradamus. Not like Nostradamus. But a lot of really good stuff coming up. I really enjoyed this part one.
Me too.
Part two is going to be incredible as well. So come back again next time.
Oh, please.
On UAP, the Unidentified Alien Podcast with Karen Curtis over there, Stephen Diener right here. And make sure to check out this episode and all other future and past episodes in the Akashic Record on Apple and Spotify and wherever else you get your podcast.
The internet is sort of the Akashic Record with wires.
It kind of is.
Well, no, a Wi-Fi.
The internet is forever, just like the Akashic Record.
Oh, my gosh. Thank God for Al Gore.
So check it all out. Also on 850WFTL.com. And we'll talk to you again next time right here on UAP.
Thanks for listening.